Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young in today. Thanks for hanging out with us. Lots of great comments on the YouTube channel. If you'd like to check those out as the show proceeds, just go to YouTube.com, put in Mark Reardon Show, and you will be directed to the right place. In the meantime, I get the pleasure to talk to legendary meteorologist Dave Murray. Dave, great to talk to you, sir.
Oh, I think you've come to the wrong place.
No, I haven't.
Thank you.
In days like these, though, I got to tell you, there's tropes in every business, right? If you watch a mystery movie and somebody has a gun before the first commercial, you know somebody's going to die in the next segment, right? Those are tropes.
Yeah.
And one of the tropes that we have in weather that my wife and I always laugh about is in the winter, we're told, make sure you wear warm, layered clothing. And I always say, oh, honey, I was going to go out in my bathing suit. It's only 0 degrees outside. And in summer, we always hear the same trope where light-fitting clothing and drink plenty of fluids. And even though it's a trope, it's actually true, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's though I sometimes wonder, it's like, okay, how many times do we need to tell you people this, right?
Yep.
Darn, I was going to wear my wool sweater today, it's going to be 95.
And have a nice hot bowl of soup.
Oh, yeah. But tell us about, because I'm interested in this from the meteorological perspective, that we oftentimes hear about what's called a heat dome, where you've got this dome of air, like I'm telling you. I'm not trying to tell you like you don't know, but we hear about a heat dome, and I haven't been hearing that terminology used for what we're going through or what we're on the cusp of going through this weekend. So what is it that's going to park these high temperatures, high humidity right over our area for the next 3 or 4 days?
Yeah, it is just a giant dome of summer high pressure. It will cover most of the eastern two-thirds of the nation over the next couple of days. Today for us was the transition day. Not too bad, and the evening's not too bad, but the next several days are going to be tough. The thing is about these is that they get in a position for us and they start to pump in the moisture from the Gulf of Mexico. So it is really, really a humid air mass that's coming up direct from the south. And also these things are really tough to push out. A little cool front from the northwest is not going to push it out. They put a dent in it, and we have a shot of that Wednesday of next week. But usually it takes a really strong storm system to push these things out. Sometimes it is a storm that comes in off the West Coast. Sometimes it's a tropical storm or a hurricane that comes into it and tries to push it out. So this is our first heat wave of the summertime. It's a little bit late in my book because we just hit 90 plus on Tuesday of this week for the first time. But we're looking Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Sunny, hot, humid, 98 for high temperatures each day. The heat index, what it feels like, 105 to 107. The hottest time of day this time of year is from 3 to about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to be very close to a record on Saturday. The record's 99 from 1988. The record on Sunday is 102 from 1930. And the record on Monday is 101 from 1930. So I think the Sunday and the Monday records are safe, but we're going to be close tomorrow. And it's just something that we get used to. Also, the big deal about St. Louis in this is that it's a bit of a stagnant air mass. And with all our brick buildings in the urban environment, the city does not cool down much at night. Nighttime temperatures, we're talking probably 78, 79, 80 degrees. Now, the surrounding suburbs will drop into the low 70s. It's a big difference. But it allows the city environment, the urban heat island, so to speak, to warm up very quickly because it's going to be full sunshine. It's going to be 100% sun, and it will go to work by about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning.
And the other trope that I always like to mock, Dave, and I'm just being completely honest with you, is when people say, oh, it's going to be 105 in Phoenix, but it's a dry heat. You know, I always hear that and I laugh. But I was in Phoenix not too long ago. It was hot, and it didn't feel that bad. So when we look at the St. Louis, and particularly with this heat dome that we're going to be dealing with over the next few days, that high humidity really does make a real actual difference in how it feels, doesn't it?
Oh, tremendous, tremendous. I always call it the wet washcloth feel, except it's kind of a hot, wet washcloth.
Yes.
And yes. Who knows what I'm talking about.
Hey, Dave, this is Fred. Is that the same as the wet bulb index?
Yeah, what is that, the wet bulb index?
You're talking about the dew point temperature primarily. And the dew point temperature, the old weather joke is it's the direction the dew points, but that's not it. So, hold on, give me a drum roll here, please.
That was horrendous.
Meteorologic humor right there.
I take that.
You'll be here all week. Try the veal.
The dew point temperature is a temperature that is basically where the atmosphere will reach when it hits saturation. And in the summertime, when the dew point temperatures are 70, 71, 72, it means that the thickness, the high humidity is really in place. Why it's important in the forecasting angle of it, humidity is relative humidity. And in the summertime, the atmosphere can hold a lot more moisture than in the wintertime. So we may see tomorrow afternoon, even though it might be 97, 98 degrees, you're going to hear, oh, the relative humidity is only 43%. It's relative humidity. If you look at the dew point temperature, it's going to be like 72, 73. Oof. And that's why we feel it. And that's why the dew point is an important number.
Well, I will be taking a fan tomorrow night to the Muni. I have Muni season tickets on Saturday nights. And I will have a fan with me at the Muni on Saturday night, Dave. But thanks for clearing up some of these tropes. And thanks for joining us this afternoon. Great to talk to you.
You got it. Anytime.
We, of course, are joined by Fred Bottomer, Hall of Famer. Speaking of Hall of Famers.
Hey, thank you. Hey, the Muni has some great fans, don't they?
Yes.
Overhead now?
They do. And those got put in about 15 years ago.
Yep.
And the old fans were funny because they would fire up these old big fans, and it sounded like a lumbering airplane was coming over, like something that Indiana Jones would fly in. And they were loud, and they had to turn them off during the show. But now they bought some fancy fans from Germany, and they run them through the whole show. It really does make a difference.
It's nice.
I can remember, I think, when those first went back in 10 years or so ago, Bob Powers, a friend of mine that I grew up with, worked at HOK, and he was the one that was involved in getting that all
really?
Together. You go, Bob.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that, because it really does make a difference when you can actually run those fans during the show, because that stagnant air, as Dave was talking about, that just doesn't move. It's high heat, high humidity. It makes it hard to watch the show. It also makes it hard for me. I've got cards in my pocket, not just my lawyer business cards, but I've got cards in my pocket that say, stop talking. And I give those cards out at the Muni when the people behind me won't shut up. Because I'm here to watch the people on the stage sing and dance and talk. I'm not here to hear Earl give his comments about what the show is on the stage.
Did you hear that, Fred?
This is a whole other segment.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my. Okay.
Got some personal experience with that?
Interesting.
No, that's just something to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you a card, Fred, to take with you. I got some right here in my wallet.
I'd be afraid to talk.
And you just kind of hand it to him, and it says,
does
stop.
Does that work? How mad do these people get?
Oh, they get mad, but I don't care. You know, they're not going to hit me.
Can you say so, sue me?
And if they do, I'll sue them. So I don't care. But our trick at the Muni is always the same. My wife gives them the teacher look.
Yes.
Stop talking. Then my wife gives them the shush. And then when that doesn't work, she looks at me and she kind of gives
time for the card.
Time for the card, and I'm the guy that gives the card because I don't care.
Matthew,
can I ask a very particular legal question for an anecdote here?
I already
you
like
hand
it.
Me the card because I'm talking. I don't like this move, and so what I do is I take the card and I flick it back at you, but you're still turned at me and it hits you in the eye.
Yeah.
Can you sue me for that?
Absolutely. Well,
really?
the answer
you gave
to
me a card and I flick it back at you, and because it hit you in the eye, you can sue me.
That's called assault and battery.
Oh man.
So not not only can I, but as I tell my clients, my business clients every day, anybody can sue anybody for any reason. So, yes, I can
sue you. I guess I should
you.
Say, is a judge going to look on that because you gave me the card with a in favorably in your favor?
I don't
still.
Care because you're going to have to spend $20,000 to hire a lawyer, and it's only going to cost me my lunch hour.
Brad.
You know, what?
Does anybody get so bitter that they just continue to yap?
No, I've never had that. Not once.
Interesting.
I get some grumbling. I get some name calling. I get some questioning of my parentage.
Yes.
But then it typically will die down very quickly.
Very interesting.
So, also, speaking of very interesting. Coming up next is Sue's News, the best segment on the entire Mark Reardon Show. So stick around. We'll be right back. 97.1 FM Talk. Boy, I think Sue was going to start talking there, or got to start singing, I mean, with a great, great bumper
band
music.
Man.
I think Sue is one of the best chair dancers I've ever seen.
Chair dancing.
Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
That's completely different than table dancing.
Yes, completely.
Completely. No comparison between chair dancing and table dancing. Completely different. But now, of course, is the best segment of the show, Sue's News.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
You know what? I just saw this morning, and I almost thought, maybe I should do this, and then I thought, I don't know. It's National Take Your Dog to Work Day.
Aww.
Did anybody do that here? Wouldn't that have been awesome?
I did not. I wish I would have. I didn't realize it was National Take Your Dog to Work Day.
I love that. It's also National American Eagle Day. National Vanilla Milkshake Day. Is that your favorite, Fred?
No, I'm a chocolate guy.
Oh, that's right. Or National Hike with a Geek Day, which seems specific, but okay. All right. Now,
yeah, who did that?
On this day in history, and we do have some music that will be obvious, Matt, when we need it. In 1975, this is 50 years ago, people, Steven Spielberg started the whole summer blockbuster phenomenon with the release of this movie. Ah, okay, Jaws is 50 years old. Now, when this came out, I was a little kid, and I was not allowed to watch it, not even a piece of it, because we were going on vacation to the beach that year.
Oh, no.
And my mother was like, ain't nobody in this family watching this movie. And that's how it's going to be.
But you knew about the movie.
Yeah, of course, but it was everywhere. You know, those posters with the giant shark coming out there. Fred, what do you remember of Jaws?
Oh, well, I saw it right away. I mean, I guess I was a little bit older than you.
Yeah, but
I saw it at the Stadium Cinema downtown.
Oh, my gosh.
And my family never went on a beach vacation.
Never?
So, no.
Oh, interesting.
So it didn't bother me at all. Oh. Although it scared me a lot.
Well, yeah. Well, what about you, Brad?
I didn't go see the ocean until I was in high school.
Okay.
Which was after Jaws came out. But when I was a little kid, I will tell you that a relative of mine had a houseboat on a lake, and right after Jaws came out, I was swimming in Wren Lake over in Illinois, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm a kid, I'm like 5 or 6, and
yes.
I'm thinking, are there sharks in here?
Seriously,
I just saw
people.
That poster.
Seriously.
I don't want to get eaten, I'm just swimming in the lake here.
At the time, Jaws was the highest grossing film in movie history. It earned $260 million in the U.S., which at the time was just unheard of.
Nothing like it.
But then, 2 years later, this movie came out, and it made $307 million.
I didn't see anything. I was just snorkeling.
No, that's not it. Sue did not prep with Matt before this happened. Try this one. Maybe not?
No.
You can't find it?
No, I don't have another one.
Oh, you don't have another one? Okay, well, let me tell you
what
it was.
Tell us what it is. We're dying to know.
Star Wars.
Oh.
Star Wars came out 2 years later, and it made $307 million in the U.S. Now, here's what I remember distinctly from Star Wars. My dad took us, and, you know, it was a thing. We were at the De Pere Cinema, and he fell asleep, put his head back, and started snoring. And near the end, and having an elbow.
Fell asleep in Star Wars?
It was mortifying.
Oh, my goodness.
But that was, what, in the 1970s?
Yep.
Yeah.
Brad, do you have a stop snoring card?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't have a stop snoring card. Yeah. But my dad fell asleep in Top Gun. He and I went to see Top Gun together. He fell asleep. I said, Dad, how could you fall asleep during Top Gun? And he said, well, paying $5 for a motel room ain't too bad.
Oh, okay. So well, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way.
That was his line.
My dad did not say that sort of thing, but he could have. He probably was done with the popcorn and just dozed off. All right, summer officially starts today, and that also means today is the longest day of the year. The summer solstice actually takes place tonight at exactly 9:42 p.m. our time. So once it's 9:42, it's officially summer, and then it becomes disgustingly hot tomorrow. What were you going to say, Fred?
Well, I'm going to say then the days start getting shorter, but I don't
know. I know, it's so depressing.
I know.
No,
it is.
It marks the moment the Earth tilts the most toward the sun, giving people living in the northern hemisphere the longest day and the shortest night of the year.
But isn't there this legend that on the summer solstice you can balance an egg on a sidewalk? I've heard this before.
But I have never tried it.
I've never tried it, but the legend is because of the equidistant of the gravitational forces, you can balance an egg. I think that's just like a glorified snipe hunt. You know, where you get some kid to go out there and spend an hour and a half trying to balance an egg, and there's really no truth to it whatsoever.
That's probably true. Well, now that's officially summer, I love Jim Gaffigan, so we're going to listen to a little bit of Jim Gaffigan. Do we have Jim Gaffigan? Oh, my gosh, Matt.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Ugh. Okay, nothing? Did Ethan pull anything that I said? Well, he did have Jaws. But I said that too. Nothing? Oh, my gosh.
That's right. We can imagine Jim Gaffigan.
He's a funny guy.
He is a funny guy.
He's a funny guy.
You guys, it was so great.
Ugh.
All right, fine.
Let's do it Monday.
Uh-huh, fine. It'll Fred, thank you for trying to help me.
Sure.
But it's just gone down the hill.
It'll still be summer.
A new study at the University of British Columbia found a simple trick that will encourage people to recycle more. Now, I found this to be very interesting. A bunch of states pay you to turn in bottles and cans anywhere from 2 cents to 15 cents, right, depending on the container. 15 cents is not that much. So the study looked at what would happen if places skipped the normal payouts and used a lottery system. So the idea is instead of 10 cents... each bottle gave people a 1 in 10,000 chance of winning a grand.
I love that idea.
Isn't this a great idea?
I love that idea because nobody's going to return a bottle for a nickel.
No.
Nobody. But will I return a bottle on a chance to get $1,000? You bet I am.
I thought this was a stroke of genius. So the same amount of money per bottle, but only one person gets the $1,000. Okay, so it worked really well. People in this study recycled 47% more bottles when there was a big jackpot on the line.
Exactly. So who pays for it?
Well, I guess the city. You know, you would take a certain that much out of the budget.
Sure.
Who cares?
Right. But then you're getting the bottles for free, in essence, Sue.
Yes.
Because people are now not getting paid for the bottles. So you save the money that you would otherwise be paying out for the bottles, and you're just paying it in a jackpot.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And the lead author of the study explained it like this. The thrill of possibly winning a big prize is more motivating than a small guaranteed reward. It's the same reason people buy lottery tickets.
Exactly.
That tiny chance of a big win is exciting enough to get you to do it. Fred, do you recycle now, though?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do, too. But I think this is a good idea. If you're skeptical.
Not for the money.
Well, no.
Right.
But if you're skeptical it would work, they tried it in the real world, and it turns out it's already working. Norway has a lottery-based recycling system where you can win prizes worth between $1,000 and $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
And they blend both systems, so when you turn in a bottle, you have a chance of getting a few cents or a chance at big money. So Norway is now been recycling, and they've got it up to 100%.
Well, it is a good deal, because if you think about the lottery, you're just tricking people into paying more taxes, and it works quite well.
Yes!
So this would work quite well as well.
Exactly. All right, I kind of like this story. It was my cute story of the day. Workers at a Pittsburgh airport helped track down a diamond that fell out of a woman's engagement ring on Friday the 13th. It happened when her hand got pinched between her suitcase and the baggage carousel. She was reaching for it. She didn't realize it until 30 minutes later, and she went back, but she couldn't find it. They helped her. They looked for like 90 minutes. Nobody could find it, and she left. But they spent another 4 hours searching on their own and finally pulled it out of the machine. She was so thrilled. Turns out she and her husband had been married for 34 years. They got engaged on Friday the 13th and married on a Friday the 13th.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
And when she got it back on Friday the 13th, they were like, yay, full circle.
That is amazing.
I just got, Ethan, are you back in here to tell me Gaffigan has been pulled?
Yeah. While Sue was talking, we had the battle of the producers going on.
Yeah.
Matthew we and did. Ethan.
We so, what happened? What happened?
So I'm back in here to tell you that I take full responsibility for the blunders. An email may or may not have been sent to me this morning that I did not happen to forward to our dear friend here, Matthew Rocchio.
Oh,
so
okay.
I take responsibility this week for
goodness.
That one.
All right. That's fair. That's
and I
fair.
Hope you all can forgive me.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
I just wondered. And finally, at Sue's News, we have today's random fact. Okay, this I find really interesting, but I always find these interesting. The shopping cart was first introduced in 1937. It was invented by Sylvan Goldman, who was the owner of the Humpty Dumpty grocery store chain in Oklahoma City, and everybody hated them. Men thought they were effeminate. Women thought they were suggestive of a baby carriage in a bad way. But they eventually became a hit, and Sylvan became a multimillionaire off his royalties from the design. And that's it for Sue's News.
Thank you, Sue. Hey, coming up next, we've got Paul Hall, Common Guys, film reviews next, 97.1 FM Talk. Ed Young in for Mark Reardon today. Mark should be back on Monday. So in the meantime, I get to hang out with the cool kids here at 97.1 FM Talk. And included in the cool kids is Paul Hall with Common Guys Film Reviews. Paul, great to talk to you again.
I thought you were going to mention Fred again, because that's the cool kid. That's the only cool kid there is.
Yeah, you know, Hall of Famer, Fred Bottenheimer. You know, you can't you can't go wrong with Fred. So, Paul, thanks for joining us today, and I'm glad that you're here to talk about some stuff, because one of the movies, I love a good zombie movie, and I really did like the first 28 days later, and now we've got a sequel that's taken quite some time to come out. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this is the third movie, actually, in this group here, Brad. There was 28 Days Later. That was the beginning of a virus taking over and trying to find things. That was back in 2003.
Oh, and can I interrupt you just for a second here? Because the idea of a global, worldwide virus, I mean, who would believe that? That could never happen.
Never, never. And, you had some scenes in that original movie that mimicked what we experienced here during COVID.
Flesh-eating zombies who were brainless and bustling. Mindless?
No, streets that were bustling that were empty.
Gotcha.
Had nobody found. Then you went to, from 28 days later, you went to 28 months later. You saw how things progressed. And now we're 28 years later, not quite 28 years on the actual calendar, but literally 22 from the original film. We got director Danny Boyle back in hand alongside writer Alex Garland. And Garland is kind of a hot commodity now after coming off of Civil War. And he knows what he does to create this era and aura of total chaos and total fear with the littlest thing going on screen. This is a movie that's really hard to watch for some people. If you are a zombie movie fan, yes, this is a good movie. And if you've seen the, especially the first one, if you've seen that, the rage virus is still at hand here as people leave the safety of a community that is not infected and go out into the mainland. It is brutal to watch at times, but for those of you who want a good scare this weekend, 28 years later is back in theaters, and I had a good time with it overall, and you can determine how twisted I am from saying that.
Well, my wife can't stand zombie movies, so the only time I get to watch zombie movies is when it's a guy's night out or she's asleep and I'm watching HBO Max or something. So I'm going to enjoy this because, again, there's nothing like a good zombie movie. The other thing, though, kind of switching from the silliness sometimes of a zombie movie, we also have something that's more serious, Surviving Ohio State, about a lot of the abuse that has gone on in the athletic department at Ohio State University.
Man, I'll tell you what, I've got a couple titles before we get out of here today that are both going to make you mad in different ways. And Surviving Ohio State is the first one. And if you could leave this title the way they've laid it out on screen and are not upset at a university not taking care of their kids, you don't have a heart. This was the story that there were a lot of men abused by a physician within the Ohio State athletic department. And Ohio State, anyone who's a college sports fan, and we know we have a lot of those there in Missouri, there's, if you're a college sports fan, you know kind of where Ohio State is on the lexicon. The best of the best go to places like Ohio State. And so these are athletes at the top of their game that have to go through physicals. And that's part of the game when you're a college athlete. You have to go through a physical. Well, those physicals included a lot more that shouldn't have happened and included a doctor that may have been committing a lot of crimes along the way, covered up by everyone along the way. And instead of support for the victims here, because they took a while to come out, even though we find out throughout the course of the film that they told a lot of people along the way and people just didn't recognize it. It's a matter of men dealing with abuse. As they say at one point, it's like the worst thing in the world if you're a man and you have to say you were abused. People think, why didn't you beat him up? You were a big wrestler. You were a big hockey player.
Oh, yeah.
Not everybody can deal with that, and not everybody wants to lose their scholarship. These are kids that are, this is the only way they may be able to go to school. You had great players leaving the program. You had great people walking away from the program. And a program that just turned a blind eye. And then they tried to settle with them, and the settlements will make you sick compared to other settlements that have existed.
Sure, and Paul,
of course, will make you mad.
Yeah, and of course, Paul, on the other side of this is you have a university system that has millions and millions and millions of dollars invested in their sports programs, and they don't want scandals to interrupt that flow of money. So there's a pressure from the university side to try to cover this stuff up.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Yeah, and the settlement that was arranged and that they basically put forward for these athletes and these other students that dealt with this, over 170 cases of people coming forward.
Jeez.
This doesn't include the people who didn't. And the settlement pool that was out there was the equivalent of about $40 million. Last 2 years here, I think the program, they said, made $1.2 billion.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yes.
You know, the damage that this sort of thing does to kids.
Yes.
Young adults. It's
life-changing.
Untold. Yes.
It's life-changing.
It's life-changing. And then the people with whom they interact and have relationships with.
Right.
The tentacles of that. The people who were told this and did nothing about it, it's just horrendous.
Well, and of course, in this entire thing, the other guy that's political in nature that's part of this is Senator Jim Jordan, who was the assistant wrestling coach. There's a lot of stories, did he or did he not know what went on, and a lot of people interviewed him along the way. He has his opinion. You watch the movie, you tell me what you think, but I watched the film, and I will tell you, I can't imagine how he couldn't have known at least something.
Mm. And speaking of things that you watch that are upsetting, I guess you're going to talk about FUBAR next.
No, FUBAR I like.
Oh,
FUBAR,
really? Oh,
okay. Arnold Schwarzenegger's back. And for those of you who have seen the first part of this series, this is season two. It's back on Netflix with Arnold Schwarzenegger in the lead role as kind of this head of a ragtag group of agents who take on some of the greatest situations along the way that include, if you remember from season one, his daughter is now a member of his team. And his daughter's got to be put in some compromising situations along the way. Think about that. Dad right. has to, you know, let his daughter kind of go and do what she needs to do. That's over on Netflix. For those of you who saw the first season, definitely check it out. The other one that I would say, Trainwreck Mayor of Mayhem, this is the Rob Ford story. Now, of course, Brad, you know the Rob Ford, the mayor of Toronto.
Sure, absolutely.
Who had a really weird run in office.
Very, very odd.
Huh.
It's a quick watch. That one's out there. It's about an hour long. It's part of the Trainwreck series on Netflix that I can highly recommend people check out. This is the series that next week they're going to be dropping the story of the poop cruise on Carnival and how people kind of dealt with that. And yes, I said that word right live on the air, didn't I? Yes, that's the title. That's the way it goes. So Mayor of Mayhem. A great little quick hour-long watch for those of you who don't know about Rob Ford. It's an intense little story about a mayor who was kind of wild there for a while.
Well, but I want to go back to FUBAR for a second because didn't this second season, don't we have a new cast member, Carrie Ann Moss?
Yeah, she's along for the ride here in season two. She's kind of a... let's say an old flame in Arnold Schwarzenegger's life that comes to play in about, I think she pops up first in episode two, which is out there for everyone to check out. She has some moments with Arnold. It's interesting. It's fun to watch. She's a great actress, and I like to see her get roles. And that's the thing. FUBAR is one of those series that doesn't take anything too seriously.
No, because so it's making fun of the genre, isn't it? I watched about half of season one, and it's mocking the genre.
Right. Yeah. You get the action that's involved with kind of like a spy thriller, but there's humor along the way, and there's kind of hidden humor. It's not overt. It's not slapstick stuff in your face. But those are it's there for you to see, and that's just a couple. And if you want to keep singing Frozen, they've got Disney Plus has got the hit Broadway musical Frozen from London. It's good to see the musical version of this. That's out on Disney Plus as of I think it's yesterday, and you've got our great old series that are sitting there that we liked and we've talked about, like Stick over on Apple TV Plus. That one continues on. So there's so much good stuff out there. What are you watching?
Sue, what have you been watching recently?
Well, I'm not the one to ask. We've been outside. I'm an outside during summer person. So I haven't seen much. Oh, we did watch Earnhardt.
Okay.
The documentary. Mm-hmm. Because Michael is a racer. Boy, that was fantastic. Mm. But if you're a racing fan, that's something to watch.
And I just wrapped up watching the third.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Season of Reacher.
I like the books Reacher.
Or the second season. The most recent season. I think it's the third season. Most recent season of Reacher. And I enjoyed the books.
Yes.
I always laughed when Tom Cruise was in the movies because I'm like, if you've ever read a Reacher book,
yes.
Tom Cruise coming in at 5'5", how could he be Reacher? There's no way.
No way.
And interesting, Paul, and I know you're going to be shocked at this, the most excited in my household to watch Reacher is my wife, for obvious reasons. So, Paul, if folks want to catch your reviews online, how can they find you?
Simple. Look me up at commonguy.com. You can go to Twitter or Facebook. I post things there from time to time. So you'll see things there. Here's my piece of advice for everybody. Marcus Theaters does a mystery movie on Monday nights. I would get a ticket for this week's $6 chance to go out and see something before it comes out. I have a sneaking suspicion on what it's going to be, and if I am right, you'll be seeing a big movie a couple weeks before it comes out.
Well, Paul, that sounds super to me. That sounds super interesting.
No, I think it's more Jurassic in my mind.
Oh, okay, all right. I thought I was.
I don't know. By the way, I'm going to clarify. I don't know what it is.
Okay,
but I've been right about 80% of their movies that they picked out. So take it for what it is.
Paul Hall with Common Guys Film Reviews. Thank you, Paul. Great to talk to you, sir.
Take care.
Hey, coming up next, we've got Frank Cusimano. You know Frank, KSDK sports director, coming up next on the conservative voice of St. Louis, 97.1 FM Talk. Mark Rudin's show, Brad Young in today, and get to talk to, you know him. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. Frank Cusimano, KSDK sports director. Hey, Frank, what's going on, buddy? I'm sorry, say that again.
Great to be with you, Brad. I hope you're doing well.
I am, and I'm always doing well when I get to talk to you about a Cardinals sweep in Chicago. I was thinking that the Pope Leo might be a factor in the series, but he really wasn't.
Yes, not even the Pope can help the Chicago White Sox. Capless franchises of all time. You know, they've averaged 111 losses a year the last 2 years. And this year, after that sweep, I think they're on pace to lose 113. Can you imagine? You know, every once in a while we get down about the Cardinals if they get close to 500. They are 23-52. You better sweep the Chicago White Sox.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did recognize that the federal government was using the White Sox Stadium for the witness protection plan because nobody would ever find you there.
Yeah. Good line.
So the other thing I want to talk about, though, is Arenado, because we were watching him. I predicted he would have a great year this year, and he is. He hit home run 350, but he also reached another milestone, didn't he?
Well, home run number 350 was the one that I'm familiar with. I'm not familiar with the other one.
Well, there was a stat with having a certain number of gold gloves and hitting 350, and that I saw was only like seven people in Major League history have ever reached those two combined milestones.
Yeah, 10 gold gloves and 350 home runs. Yeah. Yes, absolutely, yeah. And I'll tell you what, this is probably a good sign for the Cardinals, Brad, in that Arenado's had a solid year, not a great year, but a solid year, and he's about your fifth or sixth best offensive player. And when you can say that, that means your offense is pretty good because we've had a lot of really great things happen. The big story with the Cardinals right now, Brad, is Alec Burleson. Mm. So at the beginning of May, Cardinal coaches said, come on over to the hotel bar. We're going to have a beer and we're going to talk about life. We're not going to talk about baseball. And in the month of June, he's now hitting 400. He just finished a series in Chicago where he went a sizzling 7-for-13. I mean, he's hitting high balls. He's hitting low balls. This is a guy who won a batting title in the minor leagues hitting 350. He is a dynamite offensive player. And what he's doing is he's limiting the amount of at-bats for Jordan Walker because you just can't take him out of the lineup.
Mm. That is fantastic. And I want to switch because we don't have a whole lot of time here, but I want to get your perspective, Frank. Of course, we're talking to Frank Cusimano, KSDK sports director. But Florida Panthers, of course, won. But here's the intriguing part. Is there a chance that Matthew Tkachuk could bring the Stanley Cup back to St. Louis when he gets his turn with it?
Oh, well, he will definitely, I would bet, the mortgage that he will have that thing at O.B. Clark's. He'll have it at some other establishments in St. Louis. Nobody will enjoy an offseason better than Matthew Tkachuk and the entire Tkachuk family because they're such a giant fabric of St. Louis with three kids and Keith making his home close to Old Warson. There's going to be a party in St. Louis like you haven't seen it when that Stanley Cup comes for his day this summer.
Oh, that will be fun. Speaking of fun, I didn't think that the NBA Finals would come down to a Game 7, but here we are. How do you break it down?
Well, I'm really excited about it. It'll be the first Game 7 in the NBA since 2016. And, Brad, normally when you have a staggering regular season like Oklahoma City has, you win the championship. They won 68 games. But these pesky Pacers have pushed it to seven games. And I do think, though, at home, and they have the best player, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I think they find a way to win. So I think the league needed it because it wasn't like a Madison Avenue ratings bonanza with two small markets. But any time you say those magical two words in sports, game seven, well, you should stop and watch.
Absolutely. Speaking of stopping and watching, Sports Plus, Sunday nights, always a highlight for my Sunday night. What have you got coming up this Sunday?
Well, we got some great stuff. Kelly Chase, who has beaten leukemia not once but twice, is on the road to recovery. This is one of the most fierce players in the history of the NHL, and he's got down to 141 pounds. We chart his progress step by step as he's trying to get his strength back, and nobody's more candid or honest about that. Chris Pronger, one of the greatest defensemen of all time, we're going to tell his story, what he did for kids at Cardinal Glennon Hospital just recently. So those are two of our fun stories this week.
And before we let you go, Frank, in one or two words, who do you like in the Game 7 for the NBA Final?
I just can't go against Oklahoma City.
That's right. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You tell him, Sue.
If you're at home and you have the best player and you've been the best team all season long, I'm going definitely Oklahoma City Thunder to win it.
Fantastic. Frank Cusimano, KSDK Sports Director, thanks for joining us this afternoon here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Brad, great to be with you. Take care.
Great to talk to you, my friend. More after this on 97.1 FM Talk.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.